James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart getting you through your Saturday on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Oh, God. Here we go.
What if I land, two if I see?
Saturday, 11 to 3. We have an old saying up in Maine. Andy,
you can
be ready.
It. You can do it.
The ball doesn't lie.
Yo, shout out to Charles Manson. You know he has two masters, and he still said that.
Yes. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
He might be the best on-air personality here.
I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive.
Again, there's no place we'd rather be in a beautiful, sunny day than inside an air-conditioned studio with you. There's no place we'd rather be.
But moving on.
No, we got to move on now.
You said you would never do a show with me.
That's a lot.
Well, you know.
Now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Become quite, as you would say, a pussy.
Yeah.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Honestly, I just think it's trash. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I'm going to speak up for myself. I'm going to stand up for myself. He either needs to move on or we can meet. One of the two. If he says he wants to move on, stop talking about it.
The 0-2 pitch, bringing a ground boy weakly to the charging second baseman via scoop slips to first, and this one is over. The Orioles roll over the Red Sox.
Hour number two, Mark and Hart. Next week, Mark and Hart will be live from Fenway Park before the Red Sox-Yankees game.
Which is supposed to be a big series and a big game, but kind of not going in that direction right now.
It's not looking good.
What are they, 11 games back?
It is not looking good. And last night's bludging by the Orioles, 11-2, is not bad. I was just reading this article in the New York Post about one of the major reasons why I could never live in New York City. I got to read this to you. Upper West Side's booming rat population. It's disgusting. It's talk about the Upper West Side has the highest concentration of rat complaints, or 1 in 5 rat sightings citywide, according to calls to 311 analyzed by nonprofit watchdog group OpenTheBooks.com. Quote, the rats are running wild in this fancy area. And it's like, I could never live in New York.
There's rats here too, right?
There are rats in Back Bay. And Back Bay is considered one of the bougie.
Right.
Like, I think Julian Edelman lives in Back Bay, if I'm not mistaken.
Some of the rat issues and sightings is when these people buy and then rehab and do construction and boot the rats out, and now they're more visible.
Well, and then the construction, as you mentioned, they'll just eat, you know, fast food, or they won't, whatever they leave there.
Right.
And then the rats just congregate. And I'm like, dude, this scares the hell out of me, man. This,
you're afraid of rats?
They're my phobia.
Really?
Biggest phobia.
Rat. He's a rat.
The biggest thing you're afraid of on the planet Earth is rats. Not heights or sharks or snakes or spiders or...
I mean, if you put
a rat
me...
A can't really kill you, right?
No, I mean,
I guess if it bites you, you could get a disease.
Yeah, yeah. If you put
a plague.
If you put me near a great white shark, I'd probably have to go with the shark.
Right.
You know, as I wear my Jaws t-shirt today on the...
I'd much rather see a rat than a snake. I do not like snakes.
Yeah, snakes are no... You know the thing about snakes, too? That they're... Well, they're saying that, like... And the thing, this one... math teacher said, quote, I am sick of it. The rats are all over the place and they're aggressive.
Oh,
now that's where you're like, it's one thing if you're just like, and they disperse, like
they scurry. Right.
Right. Well, they're aggressive. You're like, oh no, that's not good. That's not good for business. That's-
yeah, rats got to eat too. Takes a little nibble out of your ankle.
Oh, God. This is, New York City. I love New York City, but it's like, I couldn't. God bless you, Evan Drellick. Hopefully you're living in a rat, non-rat infested area. Oh, my God. It's disgusting. I can't even. But, yes, we have an old city.
Right. There's rats.
Somebody told me that they call Austin Rat City.
Oh.
That's what it's called.
I think there's rats in every city. You either see them or you're just blind to them, but they're there. They're there in every city. Yeah. There's just too many people, too much garbage, too many alleyways.
Right.
Too many.
Yeah. Major city, you have them.
There's
I saw
rats.
Them in Atlanta.
Right.
Saw them in Atlanta. Yep. 617-779-7937. We're talking about the David Price versus Dennis Eckersley saga, which took another turn this week. David Price came out and made the comments about Dennis Eckersley. And then last night, David Price got lit up like a Christmas tree in Rockefeller Square in the middle of December. 6 earned runs in 4 innings against the team that is basically nothing more than a glorified AAA team in the Baltimore Orioles. We're talking about that. 617-779-7937. Dan's up in New Hampshire. He's up next on Mark and Hart. What's up, Danny?
Hi, Mark. My point on this Eckersley Price brouhaha, first of all, Dennis Eckersley is a member of the media. You can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen. He took a cheap shot at Eduardo Rodriguez. It was during a rehab performance. Okay, that's X job. That's all right. David Price went too far. He stood up on the plane and blocked Eckersley, swore at him. He should have been fined for that. Why didn't John Henry fine him? He could have put an end to this. That was ridiculous. And I like Price. Don't get me wrong. He at least has a personality. This team is full of boring, bland ball players.
Dan, his personality is being a D-back.
But at least he's got one. You guys should be grateful for David Price.
Oh, we are. Oh, no, for the story, we definitely are.
But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. At least he's got a person. He spoke up and said something. He was wrong. He was dead wrong. But Eckersley should have met with him. Why didn't Eckersley meet with him?
Why should Eckersley have met with him? To get a phony apology? To allow him to put some positive PR on this?
Why not?
Because he doesn't want to. He doesn't think it's genuine. He wanted to move on.
I thought that was ridiculous on Dennis's part.
I also disagree that Yuck was
Price
not a cheap shot.
Wrong. Don't get me wrong. Price went way too far.
Obviously.
Why wasn't he fined?
Well, because he's a $210 million diva pitcher, and a lot of these teams, ownerships, managements are hesitant to maybe throw fuel on a fire with a guy that they're stuck with.
Yuck. Yeah, and I can't imagine after Alex Cora spoke to him and behind closed doors and said, let's just let this go. Do not let this be an incident. And then he holds the press conference and he goes off on that. Can we hear the whole thing again, Eamon, for those people that haven't heard it? Because it is just, and I was like, wow. And then he hyped it on Twitter saying, it's going to be lit today.
Yep.
It's going to be lit.
So it was premeditated.
Oh,
everything was planned.
Everything. He knew what he was going to do. He was talked to by his boss, and then he still went out in subordination and did it anyway. Which is,
honestly, I just think it's trash. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I'm going to speak up for myself. I'm going to stand up for myself. He either needs to move on or we can meet. One of the two. If he says he wants to move on, stop talking about it.
Yeah, he didn't really talk about it. That's my other thing is I think this was Eck tried to do the right thing. I don't really care. He doesn't really care. Move on is basically how Eck approached it.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, that set Price off. And I will say, for whatever reason, WEEI.com got lumped in here like Alex Reamer did something wrong. He did not.
No.
He took the most notable part long feature story, the most timely and relevant part, put it in the headline, and David Price, for whatever reason, got set off by that, as did some other people. The Globe is still pissed about it. I see Chad Finn, who wrote the story, which was a very good story, I thought, on Dennis Eckersley, the feature. Now Chad Finn has become just a run-of-the-mill Twitter troll, taking cheap shots at this station and the website, and showing, in my opinion, his true colors and his lack of objectivity in dealing with the whole media in this town and the other station and the ratings and the wars.
I think he's
embarrassed himself, in my opinion.
He shouldn't have blamed the EI because we just took an excerpt from that. And that's all. And Reamer did his job. And Reamer did the right thing. And Reamer did nothing wrong. And David Price let Alex Reamer get under his skin. I want you to hear that again, folks. David Price, a guy that should have been last year's World Series MVP, a guy that's a Cy Young Award winner, a guy who gets paid $31 million a year, let little Alex Reamer get under his skin.
What's up, bro?
This is how sensitive and thin-skinned and insecure David Price is. That's all you need to know. WEI did nothing wrong. They took that one little excerpt and they said, well, airplane ambush, and then David Price went off. He went off like Michael Douglas and falling down.
Yep.
When he found out that breakfast was no longer being served at 10:31 a.m. That's where he went off. And then he brought out the bat and the guns. He's like, okay, what would you like with your egg? You know.
But even after the 7 laughing emojis, he had time to not go all in. But he still went all in on
that's
it's going to be lit.
Yep.
Then he met with the media. He had time to meet with his manager.
Right. First.
So he could have ended this and said, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I'm having a good season. He wanted to move on. I'll move on. Let's all move on. But he couldn't help himself.
Yeah,
he just couldn't help it.
Just so folks, just so you know how insecure and mentally fragile David Price is, Alex Reamer
is lived rent-free and probably still is in his head by a tweet from the WEEI account. There is your ace, folks. How's that make you feel? 617-779-7937. Good job by Reamer. John in Maine. What's up, John?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I almost hesitate to bring it up after your recent comments about Chad Finn, but Chad was on your affiliate down here in Maine this morning, and he made a couple of points that I haven't heard yet. The first one was as to David's comments about, oh, I was prepared to sit down and apologize. Finn said, yeah, you find me a single quote over the last 2 years where Price indicated that he had any intention of apologizing
exactly
at any time. The other thing that he said that was interesting, he acknowledged, look, I'm not a clubhouse beat reporter, so I'm not there every day, but I'm around a fair amount of the time. And he said two things. One, his view of the way Price was received in the clubhouse these days was that he was pretty much a loner, not somebody that engaged a lot or seemed to be much liked by his teammates. And the last thing he said that really struck me was we all heard that that Pedroia and others chimed in when Price did his little...
Oh, no, 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 no. Just so you know, Pedroia was the ringleader. And I know Rob Bradford wrote an article with Pedroia who basically vehemently denied... It's a lie. I know people who were there, first-hand sources of people who were there and said Pedroia was the ringleader of all... Don't let this guy get off the hook. That little... Don't let him get off the hook, okay? Because Pedroia was as much to blame for the failure of the 2017 Red Sox. I just wish he would leave. He can't stay on the field. He's getting paid $40 million up until the end of the 2021 season. He's done, and I just wish they'd get him the hell out of the clubhouse. Seriously.
I don't disagree with you. Finn's point was that, and he didn't specifically point out Pedroia was, that when the ambush happened, that other guys were kind of hooting in the background, but it died out when they realized that Price was actually serious. He wasn't just given Eck abuse in a chafing kind of a way.
Right, right, exactly.
Anyway, I hadn't heard any of those before. I thought it might be interesting.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too, John. So, yeah, Finn will speak in Maine, apparently, but not in Boston.
Why, he didn't want to come on here?
No, OMF invited him to come on. I don't know if it was yesterday, day before, and that
multiple
that,
times.
That okay. Sort of blew up on Twitter with OMF going back and forth with him.
With and Lou in particular.
Right. And then he started taking cheap shots that they should start preparing Kenny Chesney's CDs and all that, which to me is just, he exposed himself as just a pure WEEI hater and Twitter troll.
We will hear the Lou versus Trenny thing the other night on NBC Sports Boston.
I heard he blew up.
Which was epic. Epic. It was really good. If you missed it, I mean, this was, I thought the Shaughnessy versus Tom Curran thing about Edelman or TB12, when they went at it, now those are like the battle of the heavyweights when Shaughnessy's like, well, you know, you're a client, you know, and Curran's like, well, maybe if you did some homework and you came back, like, well, we sent Bob Holler?
Holler.
Oh, we sent Bob Holler. He's like, well, he's really good. And they went at it, and he's like, well, maybe I'll join. And I thought Shaughnessy actually got the better at him on that one.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic for Curran when it deals with Brady and TB12 and all that. Yeah, that's
right.
Interesting. But yeah, right. we all have our biases.
Right, we
sometimes
do.
You just, and I give... More often than not, Tom Curran puts in, I've been a client at TB12. He'll throw a sentence in,
sure.
Sort of like Shaughnessy.
We did a book with Edelman.
Right, and sort of like Shaughnessy, you'll throw in, you know, I work for the Globe, which also happens to be owned by the Red Sox and John Henry. You all need to, I don't have any biases, do you? I probably do.
Yeah, I love Ray Bourque.
Well, I know, we've heard.
I love Ray Bourque.
That was embarrassing.
Well, hey, I don't care. I grew up on Ray Bourque. I have a bias towards Ray Bourque and the Bruins. I just, what can I tell you? 617-779. So you didn't grow up loving any athlete here in Boston?
Bo Jackson. If he comes on, I will tell him, Bo, I love you. I had your sneakers. I was
well,
in the fan club.
Hey. I will as well. We'll both be fanboys, sycophants.
Bo is just on a different level
I know,
for me.
I know.
I probably couldn't speak if he came on.
Well,
by the way, can I just say something real? Dale, Ray Bourque, favorite hockey player of all time. So it's great to finally get to talk to you.
Love Rahal. Saw him at Game 7 of the Stanley Cup during, I think, the first and second or second and third period, and he did not look happy, which obviously...
Did you go up? Did you hug him?
No. He was with his son, one of his sons. I just walked by. Guy's got it. It's amazing. How old's Ray Bourque now? Like, got to be 62, maybe? So what? Find out how old he's aiming. Dude's head of hair. It's like he's 22. He has that lettuce.
Like Eck.
Yes. But no, Ray Bourque, though, it's
58.
He's only 58.
58.
But I mean, his head of hair, it's like, dude, like, are you kidding me? It's got more than Chris Curtis and Ken Laird combined, which isn't much. 617-779-7937. Oh, I love those guys. You know, it is what it is. We'll get back to your phone calls on this. We'll play you the Lou versus Trenny epic thing that they got into about the Eck Price thing and the Chad Finn thing, all that stuff. We'll get to that and your phone calls and the Tyreek Hill stuff, which we hadn't got to yet, but now it's time for trending.
I'm with Lou.
Now back to James and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I got a very interesting call about 20 seconds after you had freaking sent. Somebody called me and wasn't real happy about this and called BS on this, and they were kind of pissed off because they have no idea what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, like the four most prominent people in that organization, I mean the four most prominent people in that organization, want me to quit this gig and do that every day. And I can't. I don't want to.
All right. That was Lou Merlone back in the day. He was just basically talking about how Chad Finn had wrote an article about how the Red Sox booth was going to turn into a talk show, which probably actually is not a bad idea.
And how executives with the Red Sox, quote, like, didn't like Lou, or weren't sure about him. That was his main umbrage.
Okay, all right, so there was that. So then OMF and Chad Finn have gone at it this week on Twitter, and specifically Lou, who went after Chad Finn because... I guess what you said is that he sort of threw EI underneath the bus this week, is that that's the reason why this became a really big deal. And so then this sort of became another thing. There's a lot of spinoffs going. So OMF, Glenn Ordway is quoted saying Chad Finn should be taking a curtain call for attention from Eckersley versus Price due to his feature on Dennis. Instead, he's hiding and blaming WEI. He should be taking a bow. Lou Merlone said, how do you not get how media works? Then Chad Finn came back and said, you guys, he tweeted at OMF, should be spending less time getting effortlessly dunked on and more time learning Kenny Chesney's catalog.
Go away! Right.
So this then...
To just explain, that is a common Twitter troll.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be playing country music in 3 months.
Right.
You learn country music. You guys are all going to be jockeys. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. And for the media columnist in town, which I believe he's the only one, right?
Yeah,
I mean, a newspaper media columnist to be making a comment like that to me is just irresponsible. Well, it shows his bias. He revealed himself a lowly Twitter troll.
Well, here's the thing. He does a job every ratings period, every month. He prints the ratings. That's his job. He gets those accurately right. And listen, we will acknowledge the 9,000-pound pink elephant in the room. I mean, this station's been struggling for the last year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's a reason, unfortunately, that Jerry Callahan was a casualty last week, and unfortunate things are gone. Now there's a new morning show starting a week from this Monday on July 29th with Greg Hill, who's coming over from WAF. Now, this led into Lou and Trenny on NBC Sports Boston Early Edition, or I believe it was Early Edition or Boston Sports Tonight. And they are Early Edition, Arbella Early Edition, and they went at it, and it is unreal.
Like, I didn't make it personal to start. Okay, this is not like I ever started. I always react to Chad Finn.
Hold on.
Trenny, you know, Trenny.
Got a ton of reaction felt all the
time. Oh, you're talking about this incident. Trenny, seriously, you even know what the hell you're talking about? You have no history at all between Chad Finn and what we've gone through over there with this guy. He falsely reports everything. He's sitting there writing a story about Jerry Callahan getting fired and has yet to talk about how his own colleague is the one that's harassing that led to it, harassing advertising that led to it.
Your tweet right here, that's not a personal.
It is, but you think this started it? It's been going on for years, Trina. You got to be kidding me.
Lou, that's not what I'm saying. Started it. I'm saying
all right, so don't say that started the whole damn thing of personal.
But I'm saying he did not have to respond to you the way that he did just because you went personal from the start there. Like, there's no need for it to be personal.
We're both children.
Yep, that
okay.
would be... That
we both him. Fight back. That's why I actually think we're kind of good friends in a weird way. Even though I attack him, he attacks me. That's fine. I don't care. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's personally. Like
you guys
chill.
Know I like getting angry. Yeah. So I don't mind it one bit. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I just think that, you know, talk about that
media critic and someone that's going to criticize, you know, I think he should be somewhat fair, which is something I've never felt he's been. Period. End of story.
Hey, I'm just my point.
I think he loses credibility
with
almost every day. To be perfectly honest,
I think
everybody.
That's we're all
good
grown
times.
Ups.
Guys, have fun.
Make it personal.
Stuff. I said it was
I don't care.
Lips. It did.
Oh, Shaughnessy was there too. Oh,
he didn't get to say much.
No, he didn't.
Apparently, chose not to say.
Yeah,
much.
Yeah. Right. Shaughnessy, he was there. That so that happened. So this, it's amazing. Price versus Eckersley turned into Lou versus Chad Finn, OMF versus Chad Finn, Lou versus Trenny.
Like, I didn't make it personal to start. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not like I ever started. I always react.
Wow. What
is that noise? What is she doing?
That is not a good noise for radio or TV.
No, whatever that noise.
I always react to Chad Finn.
Yeah, that was not
Sounds
good.
Like you singing.
No, yeah, that's bad.
Hurts my neck in the same way.
My singing's better than that.
It might be.
Yeah, right. Even you'll admit that. Of summer.
Poor dogs everywhere. We play those back to back and it's like Nightmare City.
No, let's not. Nick and Weymouth, thanks for holding. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick little humanistic observation of Dennis Eckersley. I happened to be at Dana Farber last Wednesday. Right. And he was doing some kind of photo out there, and you kind of instantly recognize him if you've known anything about Boston sports when he walked in. But he's a pretty unassuming guy, and he's waiting for other people to catch up with him. And I was watching him with people who knew who he was, and obviously there's a few people there who knew who he was. And then I actually didn't bump into him. I was in the same place that he was two other times throughout the day, elevators, and I don't think anybody knew him in there. He's with his own people. What I'm saying is he just seems – the same kind of affable guy, whether he's on or off, you know what I mean? Whether he's doing a promotional thing or people he doesn't even know. And I guess that kind of comes along with your age and your experience in life and stuff. We all had our ups and downs. To me, seems like a good guy. Don't know him,
He's a great guy. And here's a guy who, I mean, he battled alcoholism. His brother, there was some thing with his brother who was charged with kidnapping back in the day. His ex-teammate on Cleveland, Rick Manning, stole his wife from him.
Which is all part of the Chad Finn story, which is,
right.
Again, is a good story.
It's a good story.
Read it.
Yeah.
Either go online and read it or wait for tomorrow. It comes in the actual printed Globe magazine. It's a good story, but boy, did it unleash a crap storm on this city, both Red Sox and media.
Oh, yeah.
Paper, radio, TV, and I'm not sure anybody really saw it coming. I certainly don't think X saw it coming. I think he did his best to say very little about it, but I don't fault Finn for writing it. And if you go to the story, you'll see not only does he write the X comments, he rehashes the Shaughnessy piece in the Globe that explained the actual initial ambush on the plane. So they devote a decent amount of space in the story to this. As they should.
But I thought Chad Finn did his job there. That's
as
right.
He should.
Right.
It's
That's right.
The Red Sox, one of the Red Sox color commentators, in one of the more notable aspects of recent years, showing what his job is like, what his personality is like, how his personality might get him into trouble and sort of rub some people the wrong way. And even X says,
right,
he doesn't like my act. He's not the first to not like my act.
That's right.
He
like,
won't
like,
be the last like, to not like my act.
If hypothetically, Cedric Maxwell got into a yelling back and forth with Kyrie Irving. That's a story,
right?
That's a major story. And yes, it's 2 years old, but I guess you know, like, listen, Chad Finn did his job on that article. People still want to know, want to get X side. X didn't say much after it happened. So to me, I didn't think X comments elicited the wrath from David Price.
No,
at all.
But I guess Price seems like one of those guys you never really know what's going to set him off because of his
he's that dude.
Unique personality, sensitivities, however you want to describe
it. It's
he's
like,
different.
It's the Goodfellas scene with Joe Pesci. Say, oh, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm funny. How?
Right.
Like, funny, like, you know, I'm here to amuse you. What do you
mean? And immediately you're like, I didn't mean to set you off. Like, Price is the same way.
He's that guy.
Correct.
He's that freaking guy. 617-779-7937. Eric in Plymouth, you're up next here on Mark and Hart. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I just want to talk about just how, I mean, I don't remember a regular season loss that has been more frustrating than that one last night for a long time. I mean, and for, you know, more than the reason that this team is trying to fight for that second wild card spot. And, you know, you got to beat the Baltimore Orioles. But it's because of all the extra attention that Price brought on himself.
Oh, don't hold on. Eric, just a bad little pun here. Don't you mean extra attention?
Ugh.
Exactly. Hey, I like it. Exactly.
Hey, you said it, and I had to go there.
What's
I'm
this,
sorry.
Channel 7 with one of their graphics?
Extra attention. Oh, thank you, Eamon. I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Keep going, Eric. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, please. All the extra attention that Price brought on himself now. I mean, and the thing is, if he goes out there and he pitches, and, you know, if he had a good game yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? We're not talking about today, Eric. We're not talking
exactly.
about it. Yeah.
So what he did, he dropped, I mean, as to use his metaphor against him, he dropped all of his cards on this one. I got no respect for the guy now. I don't have a lot of faith in him trying to help us make a playoff run anymore because I think he's kind of a mental case, and
he
I
is.
Think it's going to affect his game moving forward.
Eric, can I just ask you this? Because we're just sort of, to pull an NWO Scott Hall, we're taking a survey. Do you sort of root now when David Price is pitching, do you root for him now to get shelled?
No, I mean, I don't, because I wanted him to pitch well last night, and I figured he would going against the worst team in the league. So for him to perform the way he did, so I'm going to say no to that just because I still want this team.
But there are, but you do recognize there are a lot of people who are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's certainly, and the unfortunate thing was after the World Series run last year, people were on his side, I think. He kind of won everyone over.
He did, correct.
A lot of drama going on with him.
And it all came back. Sports. It's like, it's the old, just when we think I'm out, they pull us back in. Price pulled us back in this week.
And he gave you reason to question him again. To
that's
question
it.
His mental makeup, because he put himself in the spotlight this week and had it's the Orioles. It's not a World Series game. It's not a game at Yankee Stadium.
No.
Some of the things we've talked about, a playoff game where he's had his struggles in the past. But now he's given you reason to, well, was what he did last postseason in the World Series, was that the new him? Or was that an aberration and maybe the soft side, questionable, tough spot guy is back?
And
he put that on himself.
And I just got news for you. After this Orioles series, it's Rays Yankees, my friend.
Yeah, I know, but
so
I'd argue those aren't really pressure spots because you're starting to fall so far out of it that you're removing the pressure.
And now they're three games out of the second wild card spot, and you know me, I said this a month ago, sell. So now if this becomes 5.5 or 6 games out of that second wild card spot, now I'm hearing all the reports are Red Sox are looking at Marcus Stroman. Red Sox are looking at Noah Syndergaard and Madison Bumgarner. It's like, no, Dombrowski doesn't know how to sell. All he does is buy. It's unbelievable. And meanwhile, this farm system is completely bereft of any future talent. There's no one left. They are devoid. And I'm like, if you drop to 5-6 games out of that second wild card spot by July 31st, you should be selling, not looking to acquire Marcus Stroman. Dan in Maine, you're up next. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I got a couple things. You know, because I know you're talking about Price, but you brought up Pedroia also in the mix. And it's funny because I think I called and talked to Dale about this probably a year ago. And it was after he had done his little, don't blame me.
That was two years ago. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it was after he did his don't blame me thing.
It's them,
and,
not
and,
me.
You know, it's funny. Right. Yeah, exactly stuff. But, you know, that seemed to get swept under the rug. And I think personally, talking about showing true colors, I think that showed his true colors. I guess we really don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but I'm surprised that some of these guys didn't take him aside and say, you know, what the hell are you talking about?
You talking about Pedroia?
Yeah, but part of that was,
okay, well, because he's the veteran. He was the guy that was supposed to take the mantle from Poppy, and he never did.
But he also had some money in the bank, so to speak, in terms of his career with the Red Sox. You know,
won an MVP.
Right, MVP, World Series.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there was some rope there to work with. David Price had no rope.
Right.
Right. He came here and immediately was underwhelming. People didn't like him, rubbed people the wrong way, whereas Pedroia had some credit to use.
Right. So Pedroia, he had built up some equity.
Yeah.
But Dan, and what I've heard, the only reason he's still on the roster is because the Red Sox, he has some insurance policy, and the Red Sox are apparently trying to see if, because he's medically unable to perform, if that can be covered by insurance. It's the only reason why I believe he's still on this roster. Which, to me, I loved it last year when the Red Sox won it all. And the three games he played, he sucked. They had to deactivate him, and he had nothing to do. Like, he's part of two World Series titles teams, and he'll get credit for being on three. He had nothing to do with last year's run. Nothing.
No.
No, I agree. But I think he's kept on also because he's the quintessential hustler. You know, the dirt dog and all this stuff. And you know, and yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that. In those earlier years.
But he's also to me the cancerous ringleader behind. He's the one who was sort of David Price's hype man. Like, yeah, you should go do this.
Right.
Show up X. Go do this. And like so when Pedroia came out afterwards with Rob Bradford, I'm like, oh, I wasn't that. Like, dude, you lied. You were. Right. I know for a fact. I bet on Sean Taylor's grave, you were there. You were the instigator behind the whole thing.
And he's never embraced the leadership in the way where you have to deal with the difficult situation. Remember that one? Can I go home now? Can I go home now?
Like, can I go home?
Right.
This is ridiculous, man. We're trying to play baseball and win games. I don't have time for this.
Right. I'm sorry. Being a leader doesn't always mean just the good stuff.
How about the part where he goes, oh, you guys looking for a leader? You're staring right at him.
Well, except he wants to go home.
Right.
You're staring at him, but he wants to go home.
You're looking right at him.
He doesn't want to be stared at.
Here I am.
Well, yeah.
Listen.
No, we don't have a leader. I'm standing right here. Been here for a long time. Wow. We're in first place. So,
except when you want to go home.
Right. Has Tom Brady ever, in your time, you've been there the entire Brady era, has he ever called himself a leader?
No.
Never?
No.
Never?
No.
By example?
Not at all.
Just go out, just perform, produce, biggest spots, just perform. Just that's what real leaders do. And it goes back to this, like last year, where the Red Sox, I felt as though that J.D. Martinez, by example, Mookie Betts, by example, they went out and they led. This year, it goes back to 2017 again. No leaders. David Price is acting like a complete D-bag, and they're unlikable now.
But what comes first, unlikable. The likability or the wins? If they started the year 17-2, would they have been more likable this year?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, so that's one of those things where you don't like them because they're underperforming. You know, that's part of it. They're underperforming. They're not achieving what they should be achieving. And then when these little brush fires pop up, you have more reason to criticize it. Whereas if this brush fire came in like a 14-game winning streak and they were cruising to another division title in the postseason, you'd be like, yeah, that'll go away. They're playing really good baseball.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
It all goes hand in hand.
I don't ever recall Tom Brady calling himself a leader, Larry Bird calling himself a leader, Ray Bourque, Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron. I've heard I haven't heard David Price call himself a leader either, so I'm going to, you know, let him off the hook to that extent. But Pedroia and Kyrie Irving, they call themselves leaders, and they are the absolute antithesis of the textbook definition of what it means and what it is to be a leader. You lead by example, and then Brady can get away with chewing out his former O-linemen like Matt Light or Logan Mankins or Damian Woody because he's built that up and he's like, come on, guys, like, let's effing go. This is Brady, but he doesn't come out and he doesn't call himself a leader. When some guy comes in on a contract that, you know, he'll be cut before they put his name up on the locker, Brady will go up to the guy and introduce himself. Hey, I'm Tom. Nice to meet you.
Right.
That's what a leader does. That's what a real leader does. The Red Sox this year, they're devoid of true leadership. And this is why they're not only going to not win the division, I'm actually thinking now, I don't know if they're even going to make the playoffs. They're three out of the set. Now, it's not insurmountable, but what makes you think they're going to catch the Rays, A's, or Indians right now? Is there anything that you've seen?
If you can't dominate the J's and the O's, you're in trouble.
You have no starting. You're the guy who's been your best starting pitcher absolutely crapped the bed last night. His mental fragility is now rearing its ugly head. You have no other guys you can, well, E-Rod, you can count. E-Rod's
Sale's back.
Yeah. Against who?
Oh, we'll see.
Exactly. We'll against see. The Toronto Blue Jays.
That's okay, though. You can only play the games you play, right? You can only win. And right. David Price didn't, right? He had a similar lackluster lineup, and a guy batting 206 went, yod!
Yeah, he got shelled last night. 617-779-7937. Oh, let's get to this, too. The Tyreek Hill story. We're showing again why Fidel Goodell loves to play selective persecution when it comes to different players in different teams. We'll get to that. Tyreek Hill situation, 617-779-7937.
Right back to James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. It's terrified. He is terrified.
You need to be terrified of me too. No. That's what you think.
Literally kept saying, "Daddy punches me," which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
okay,
do.
Okay, so what about you?
No, I told him that he gets whooped. I told him that he gets whooped, but I don't use a belt, which is totally different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt? When have you seen me use a belt? When have I used a belt? What, you grabbed onto him somehow, or he fell, one of the two.
I didn't do nothing. That's sad, bro. That is really sad.
Then why does say daddy did it? Why? Why does say daddy did it?
I don't know. He says daddy does a lot of things.
Like what? A 3-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm.
All right, that sound you heard just there was the sound of Tyreek Hill and his wife, right? Or fiance?
Estranged girlfriend, maybe estranged fiance now. Oh, they're not together.
Oh, estranged
apparently.
Fiance. Okay, they're not together. And his 3-year-old son had a ex-fiance, Crystal Espinal. The wide receiver denied committing assault and battery against her, a charge he pleaded guilty to in August 2015. During the argument, she accused him of abusing the couple's 3-year-old son, who suffered a broken arm that led to an investigation to possible child abuse. Hill was never charged with a crime, as the district attorney's office announced in April it could not determine how the injuries were inflicted. That sound is obviously it's a bad look on Tyreek Hill. The NFL comes out and releases a statement yesterday. It said, based on the evidence presently available, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill violated the personal conduct policy. Accordingly, he may attend Kansas City's training camp and participate in all club activities. He has been and will continue to be subject to conditions set forth by the district court, Commissioner Goodell, and the Chiefs, which include clinical evaluation and therapeutic intervention.
We have high standards in the NFL.
Then the Chiefs came out and said the club fully supports the conditions for return laid out by the league and will continue to monitor any new developments in the case. We are glad to welcome Tyreek back to the team and look forward to the start of training camp next week. End quote. Patrick Mahomes also came out and said that he's happy to have him back. Andy,
there's a lot here.
There is a lot here.
I think I am going to take some heat for taking an unpopular approach, because everybody wants us to be black and white, correct?
No, it's a gray area.
Is the worst guy on the planet. He should be suspended forever. My first issue is, don't tie Tyreek Hill in a potential domestic violence situation to Tom Brady and deflated footballs. Do not tie it to Josh Gordon and the NFL's drug policy.
Right. No, correct? I agree with that.
Very different things there. So can we eliminate those first and just look at it on the surface?
Let's just look at it. And
what you need to tie it to?
Adrian Peterson, perhaps?
Jimmy Smith, cornerback, Baltimore Ravens. I have the story from August 21st, 2018. Their cornerback suspended. Why? And the Ravens say it right in the release. He was suspended because the NFL found evidence of threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors by Jimmy towards his former girlfriend that showed a pattern of improper conduct.
And what happened to Jimmy Smith?
He was suspended for 4 games. So right there, you could just remove Tyreek Hill and say, they found evidence of threatening and emotionally abusive behavior, correct? Towards his former fiance, any of these Patriots honks, and tying it into their team.
Right.
Let's keep it to something that is pretty much apples to apples.
Yes.
How Tyreek Hill skated here. And by the way, I also want to fight, I defended him earlier, but our guy Alex Reamer posted a story on WEEI.com where I'd urge you to go read it. He transcribed a big chunk of this now 11-minute video, which, remember, came out in pieces, some of it more damning than others. And I believe Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter have alluded to the fact that if you listen to the entire 11-minute clip, that it paints the picture in a little bit different way than it was initially portrayed. And I agree with him. Why? Because we need to remember who recorded this.
I believe Crystal.
She did. So right there,
yep.
She's aware he isn't.
I know.
So she can be careful with what she says.
Right.
And in this piece,
what does he say to her?
That 2014 thing never happened, right?
Yep.
And she doesn't really answer. She says, no, we're not here to talk about that.
Right.
We're here.
Yes.
Why? Because she's the one controlling the recording and the message in the recording.
Yeah.
So I have been a guy who said Tyreek Hill should have never played in the league. I believed that from day one because he pleaded guilty to abusing her, to punching her in the stomach when she was pregnant. I thought it was one of the worst crimes that any person could ever commit. If you punch a woman in the stomach when she's pregnant with your baby, you're a hideous human being.
He did that at Oklahoma State.
But now I have no idea exactly what happened because I think he's saying the previous events here weren't portrayed in an actual light. It muddied the water. I think we can all agree this is a toxic relationship.
Oh.
This is two people who should not be together, who set each other off, and I don't know where the truth lies. But if you boil it all down beyond that, the NFL suspended Jimmy Smith for threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors.
Well, here's one fan base who should be pissed off, the Dallas Cowboys.
Correct.
Because Ezekiel Elliott got 6 games. And there was no proof of anything. And then they even found out that maybe his ex-girlfriend or lover or whatever possibly was making stuff up. He got 6 games. So here's the one thing that I talked about, the NFL dictator that you people love to call the commissioner, who is the commissioner. I'll call him the dictator.
Fidel Goodell.
That's right. He loves to practice selective persecution. Ezekiel Elliott, we have no proof on you. You're going to get 6 games because this is now a big thing. But Tyreek Hill, we can't find anything on you. And you know what? So to me, I don't see the consistency when it comes to punishment and persecution. And that's where the NFL continues to drop the ball. It just doesn't.
I don't think you're using that word right. I just looked it up. You mean prosecution?
No, persecution and prosecution. Because persecution, like, you can look at it both ways. Persecution and prosecution. NFL can't prosecute you. But I mean
persecution, I look it up because it didn't, it struck me wrong again. Hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race or political religious beliefs.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that a lot of people looked at, like, selective persecution for Ezekiel Elliott. The NFL can't prosecute you, but he gets persecuted by getting a 6-game ban.
I'm not sure I agree. But whatever. We're muddying the water here even more. Let's focus on the
Tyreek Hill. Selective justice, whatever you want to call it.
Selective justice, I would prefer that wording. But I don't understand still how Tyreek Hill skates with nothing. I'm not
That's what I don't understand
because
either.
Because if you decided.
Jameis Winston got three games for allegedly.
NFL. But even those, like, they suspended a guy 1 year ago for abusive and threatening language.
You need to be terrified of me, too.
He just told her she needs to be terrified of him. Is that not threatening? It sounds very threatening
to me.
Very
threatening.
So if you have set the standard, which is where they get in trouble, they set standards and then, as you term it, selective persecution, they don't stick to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, a year ago, less than a calendar year, you suspended a guy 4 games for threatening and emotionally abusive behavior, and you have on tape threatening and emotionally abusive behavior, and the guy skates with nothing. And you know what's going to make it worse? When he gets an $80 million contract. Because there's a contract coming. Tyreek Hill is in the last year of his contract. So sometime soon, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to throw a boatload of money at Tyreek Hill. And that's going to piss people off outside of Kansas City even more.
Yeah. Well, and it should. The one thing, I mean, there was little evidence against Ezekiel Elliott. Okay? A little. Like you just said, the audio where he basically, I mean,
sort of admitted that he hurt his son a little bit, but then he also threatened his wife. And clearly,
right.
You need to be terrified of me. Right there. Now, Missouri, we need to state for the record, is a one-party state. Only one party needs to know that you are being recorded. So,
but weren't they in Dubai at the time, too? Weren't they waiting for a flight back from Dubai?
I think they were. I thought they were at the airport going to Dubai.
Okay. I knew there was a Dubai trip, which another thing, like this relationship, and we're doing like vacations halfway around the world with this relationship, the way it's going on. But I don't care about the legality. If she's recording and he doesn't know it, he's going to be theoretically truthful and honest. She has reason to manipulate the way she speaks.
No, we're not talking about 2014.
Right. Like even the, you know, use a belt, like. It sounds like she is also abusive to the child.
Right.
Whether she terms it discipline or not.
Here's the one thing. At the end of the day, all I know is this. A three-year-old boy, a three-year-old son, has a broken arm, and the mother or father hasn't faced any consequences or accountability whatsoever. None.
By both the authorities and the NFL.
None. Right. Well, she can't, you know, be, but the authorities with her and the authorities with him and the NFL. But yet, somehow, inexplicably, a three-year-old son, basically an infant, has a broken arm.
And she chose not to talk to the NFL. That's the other aspect. He spoke for 8 hours. I forgot what the exact,
right.
Their investigation.
Right.
She did not speak with them, which is another interesting layer to this whole thing. And by the way, I know there's money involved. I know there's emotion and relationship and fear, and these are multi-layered. I just don't know that I used to think Tyreek Hill, horrific human being, beating up on people, taking advantage, abusive. I think she has some issues here.
There's absolutely no question about it. And here's the thing. But yet, somehow we have a three-year-old son who does not, he has a broken arm, and nobody's being held accountable for it. And that, to me, the NFL dropped the ball, the law dropped the ball, because just, okay, woke up one day and a three-year-old has a broke, I mean, a three-year-old. That, to me, like Adrian Peterson, yes, say what you want, and what he did was inexcusable as well. He at least got to spend it a whole year.
Right.
He had to pay for that. Like, and Tyreek Hill, no business as usual, nothing to look at here. There we go. That, to me, oh my, like, that is unreal. Yet Ezekiel Elliott got suspended, very little evidence against him. 6 games.
And by the way,
six.
Isn't the easy thing for the NFL to say 4-game suspension? Like, how exactly are you going to look bad there? How is that going to go sideways? How is that going to go wrong?
Especially in the part where he says, you need to be terrified of me.
We have evidence to do the exact same damn thing we did to Jimmy Smith. So go ahead, fight it. Call your union, do whatever you want to do. You're suspended 4 games.
At least 4 games.
So what was their reasoning for not doing it? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, we'll take your calls on this. 617-779-7937.